This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. We desire that you will find Jesus through this broadcast, surrender your life to Christ, repent, and dedicate your life to His service in a living, loving, active faith. First, please join with me in prayer to God through Jesus Christ. Father God, I want to praise and make the name of God Almighty and His only Son, Jesus Christ, great and powerful before all of the many people listening today. May the words that I speak be the right words to communicate the glory of Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who died to pay the penalty for sin for everyone who individually believes and trusts in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. Give to each person listening the faith to trust in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, so they can know that through Jesus they have eternal life. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in Your eyes, O Lord, my rock and the one who saves me. I make this prayer to our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Note that some source material for this program was derived from material at godquestions.org. I want to let everyone know about our Vision for Christ internet website at gospel2africa.com. If you have an internet-enabled mobile phone, it works on that also. And you can listen to current and past programs. Pastor Terry Priestap does a written Bible blog to help you in your Christian life, so I know you'll enjoy those articles. You can see photos of Terry and me and learn more about us and our ministry. That internet website address is gospel2africa.com, and I will repeat that at the end of the program. There are so many teachers and preachers telling you all kinds of things about what is essential or required belief in order to be saved, to be born again as a Christian believer. I want to wipe away the confusion and make this completely clear today. First, a partial list of what is not required in order to become a Christian believer. The following things that some churches and groups falsely claim are necessary for salvation, such as church attendance or membership. No, that is not required. Baptism of any sort is not required. Taking communion, the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist is not required. Giving money to a church or organization is not required. Remaining celibate or forbidding marriage is not required. Abstaining from certain foods is not required for salvation. So then, what are the essentials of the gospel message? The word gospel means good news, which is the message of forgiveness for sin through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It is essentially the rescue plan of God, of redemption for those who will trust in His divine Son in order to be reconciled to a just and holy God. The essential content of this saving message is clearly laid out for us in the Bible. In the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, he lays out the content of the gospel message, where he says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, you can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. In this passage, we see three essential elements of the gospel message. First, the phrase "died for our sins" is very important. As Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The reality of sin needs to be acknowledged by all who approach the throne of God for salvation. A sinner must acknowledge the hopelessness of his guilt before God in order for forgiveness to take place, and he must understand that the wages of sin is death. Without this foundational truth, no gospel presentation is complete. Romans 6:23 clearly states, "When you sin, the pay you get is death. But God gives you the gift of eternal life because of what Christ Jesus our Lord has done." Second, the person and work of Christ are indispensable components of the gospel. You must have them. Jesus is both God and man. Colossians 2:9 says, "For Christ is not only God-like, he is God in human flesh." John chapter 1 verse 14 reads, "Christ became human flesh and lived among us. We saw his shining greatness, his glory. This greatness is given only to a much-loved Son from his Father. He was full of loving favor, his grace, and truth." Jesus lived the sinless life that we could never live, and because of that, he is the only one who could die a substitutionary death for the sinner, meaning Jesus took my place. He was the eternal substitute for the punishment I deserved. Sin against an infinite God requires an infinite sacrifice. Therefore, either man, who is finite, must pay the penalty for an infinite length of time in hell, or the infinite Christ must pay for it once. Jesus went to the cross to pay the debt we owe to God for our sin, and those who are covered by his sacrifice will inherit the kingdom of God as sons of the King. John chapter 1 verse 12 reads, "Jesus gave the right and the power to become children of God to those who received him. He gave this to those who put their trust in his name." Third, the resurrection of Christ is an essential element of the gospel. The resurrection is the proof of the power of God. Only he who created life can resurrect it after death. Only he can reverse the hideousness that is death itself, and only he can remove the sting that is death and the victory that is of the grave. Further, unlike all other religions, Christianity alone possesses a founder who transcends death and who promises that his followers will do the same. All other religions were founded by men and prophets whose end was the grave. They died, and they're still dead. Finally, Christ offers his salvation as a free gift that can only be received by faith, apart from any works or merit on our part. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 are critical here. As the Apostle Paul tells us, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The same inspired author tells us, "If you declare with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord,' and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Here is the text for these references. Romans 5:15. "The free gift of God is not like the sin of Adam. Many people died because of the sin of this one man, Adam. But the loving favor and grace of God came to many people also. This gift came also by one man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Romans 1:16 reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 10:9. "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." These then are the essential elements of the gospel: the sin of all men, the death of Christ on the cross to pay for those sins, the resurrection of Christ to provide life everlasting for those who follow him, and the offer of the free gift of salvation to all. Now, you may have heard me speak of being a born-again Christian. The classic passage from the Bible that answers this question is John 3:1-21. As Jesus talked with Nicodemus, he said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into the womb of his mother to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." John 3:3-7. The phrase born again literally means born from above. Nicodemus had a real need. He needed a change of his heart, a spiritual transformation. New birth, being born again, is an act of God whereby eternal life is imparted to the person who believes. John 1:12-13 indicates that being born again also carries the idea of becoming children of God through trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Only those who are born again have their sins forgiven and have a relationship with God. Trusting in Jesus Christ, the one who paid the penalty of sin when he died on the cross, is the means to being born again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, will you consider the prompting of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to your heart right now? You need to be born again. I am going to pray for each of you right now. I ask you to join me in this prayer to God. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God. Amen. Friend, please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Vision for Christ so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done for all people everywhere, how people can receive Christ by faith. We want you to become a sincere and true believer in Christ as your Savior. We enjoy reading your letters to us and encourage you to write to us at Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio, 43558, United States of America. Our internet address is gospel2africa.com. We have the audio for current and past programs you may listen to. And Pastor Terry Priestapp does a written Bible blog of articles to help you in your Christian life. You can contact us through the contact form at our website. That internet web address is gospel2africa.com. I will repeat that address again in a moment in the event you were not able to write it down right then. We enjoy reading your letters of how these radio talks affect your life. If you have comments or questions about what I have said, I invite you to write to us. Please use this address, Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, spelled S-W-A-N-T-O-N, Ohio, 43558, United States of America. Our internet address is gospel2africa.com, and that is gospel2africa.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor. I offer this final bit of encouragement found in the Bible in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, which reads, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, that has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved.